Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
All right, welcome to That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
And this week, Larry,
yep.
You may have noticed the desk a little bit different.
Yeah, it looks like it got a shave.
It did. So, anyway, we're trying out this new table. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work. Look, let's cut the bullshit. The reason our table looks different is because we had some other shows in here during the week. And they managed to destroy the old desk.
Shows.
We made the business decision to share or lease out our studios, Larry, to other groups, and this is what we get for it.
Is that a microaggression?
It's gotta be. It's gotta be something. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's something.
Oh,
but all joking aside, hey, this may turn out being better. I don't know.
Okay. I don't know, but we'll find out in post.
We'll figure it out. So if this looks shittier than usual, we apologize. If it looks better than usual, it was all part of a master plan.
Yes, we know who to blame. I guys spelled backwards.
All right, let's move on. Let's start off with something we've managed to avoid doing the past 2 weeks, and that would be. Bing. All right. If you want to follow us every day, we have our own website. It's thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs. You can check us out, past episodes, commentary. You can like things and leave comments, whatever, thatriotshow.com. For more social media-oriented places you can find us, you can always go to Facebook, facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. You can find postings and other activity going on there. And of course, Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow, twitter.com/thatriotshow.
Argue with this person.
Right, where you will deal with the pit bull of Twitter.
Yep.
I want to give myself that name. Am I allowed to do that? Or does someone else have to give me that name?
I think it has to be bestowed upon you.
Oh, how about you?
So we will make you the libertarian pitbull of the Twitter.
Right. And on, after you get done with Twitter, if you want to listen to the riot on portable medium, if you're in your car or on your headset or your smartphone, Phil, roll the...
scroll.
Do the podcast scroll. Stitcher, iTunes... Player FM.
Spreaker.
Podomatic. Although Podomatic's had some, we've had some trouble uploading to Podomatic. I have to get a hold of their technical support crew, but typically you can find us there as well. But anyway, just follow us on the list. And just want to show if you like my new shirt, Larry.
Less government, more fun.
Yeah, they're a group on Twitter. So for you guys out there, just bought your shirt. I like the... I like the message, although you do have to get the grammar on your memes straight. I notice sometimes they have these good memes, but they misspell stuff.
Oh.
Bad grammar. Okay. I'm a grammar Nazi, so, you know, I have to look out for that sort of thing. But less government, more fun.
I'm wearing red.
Red.
Because I only vote for red states and things like that, never blue.
I thought it meant it was the color of love.
Well, it's not commie, that's for sure.
That's sure. Fuck that. All right. Got the pimping out of the way, Larry. Let's get right to the topics of the week. And let's start off with our favorite ass clown running for president, Donald Trump.
Oh,
Mr. Trump. There you go. Donald Trump again in the news, as he always is, regarding his opinion of what we should do about immigration, which, of course, he's always had strong opinions on, Larry.
And terrorism
as well.
Yep.
And his latest thing is keep all the Muslims out.
Yeah, all 1.6 billion of you. You can't visit.
Suck on this.
Yeah, not even come here on business or on vacation or as a tourist or to visit a relative.
Or to be a refugee, whatever. Just get the fuck out.
Yeah, just don't come here. And if you live in Dearborn, Michigan, please move.
That's basically
it's basically
it.
I mean, it's totally unconstitutional, but the
no, actually, it's not. There's a lot of debate upon whether or not on immigration purposes, not internal to the U.S., but for immigration purposes, there's a lot of precedent and there's a lot of leeway on who Congress can and cannot let it. So in other words, because immigrants are not U.S. citizens, they are not subject to the same protections that citizens are. Now.
Yeah, but that's hardly the reason he's putting that out there.
No,
he put it out there purely because he thinks any and all Muslims might be untrustworthy or up to no good. And, come on. You said he was an ass clown. But he, look. You can't do this, all right?
I agree politically you can't do it. And I don't even know if it's a good idea.
You shouldn't
or not.
Do it. Okay, how about
I don't even know if it's a good idea
it's
or not.
A stupid idea.
But to especially to liberals who are opining that this is unconstitutional.
No, that's
it. It's not. It's not. Like during World War II, there was a ban on Japanese immigrants.
I know, but John, that doesn't mean it was constitutional. They got away with it because the country was 91% white. Literally 91%.
Most
at the time of World War II was white, and they didn't care.
No, what I'm trying to say is that there was also a turn of the century act to help stem certain types of immigrants into the country.
I'm sure there were, but that doesn't mean they were constitutional.
Well,
the government has not always behaved within the context of the Constitution.
Let's put it this way.
Look at this idiot right now in the White House trying to do everything to executive order.
I agree, but what I'm trying to say is, I don't think it's it hasn't been ruled unconstitutional, and if anything, precedent has shown that it is constitutional. Now, whether they challenge it or something, that's a different story. But as of right now, you can actually say we're banning Muslims. Now, the key there is to say we're banning Muslims as immigrants, not based on their religion, but based on their affiliation with terrorism, or potential affiliation with terrorism. See, there's a fine line there. Like, for example, refugees from Syria, I'm sure Syria is on some fucking government watch list, and it's on a no-visit zone or things like that, just like with Cuba. So you could say we're not allowing any Syrian refugees. If they happen to be 99% Muslim, fine, but it's not because they're Muslim. It's because they come from a known sponsor of terrorism. Yeah. Same thing with Libya, same thing with Iraq, same thing with Afghanistan. So that's the justification. The function is to keep out Muslims, but anyway. So my next question was going to be, what do you think of it?
Well, I think it's unconstitutional. I think it can't be done. I think it's as absurd as building a wall 1,800 miles long from California to Texas. All this is, look, you had the attacks in Charlie Hebdo. You have the attacks in France. You have 9/11. You have what happened in San Bernardino. And people are scared. Let's face it. People are scared, John.
They're fearful.
And unfortunately, Obama did nothing to assuage their concerns with that lame speech that he made. I mean, basically, his speech, if you didn't see it, just came down to, well, I've got a strategy and I'm sticking to it. He did nothing to comfort people. If you got comforted from it, there's something wrong with you. And he's just playing into the fears of, I mean, look, I'm willing to believe that maybe 10% of the people who are supporting this from Trump really just look at it as a national security issue. Like, well, you know, this is a good idea because he said temporary, and this is a good way to, you know, get on top of the situation. The rest of them are just bigots and idiots who just figure, well, the Muslims are dangerous and we shouldn't let them in, and look what they're doing. Because unfortunately, all these attacks, with the exception of a few kooky white guys, all these mass murders have been done by Muslims, and now you find out this woman came here on a K-1 visa. She's a fiance. Now they're looking at that program because look how easily she was able to gain access to this country. And I understand, I mean, I'm as concerned about it as anybody. I mean, I live in a city that's target number one. But I also understand that, trust me, the solution to this is not to just turn on people and say, we suspect all of you. And like, for instance, liberals have been going on that using the term like Muslim extremism, radical Islam, all those things that you hear like on Fox News all the time, they're saying that that's a recruiting tactic, tool for ISIS. Actually, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if how we refer to ISIS is a big recruiting tool. But you know what is a big recruiting tool? Having a major candidate who's leading in one of the parties saying, we're going to keep you out and targeting you. And look at the reaction already, even from from Saudis and other people who are on our side, actually, on some of this, even they're offended and put over. This could actually be something that pushes people in the wrong direction. So I'm not happy with that.
There's a couple of things to say about this whole thing. The first thing is, all joking aside, I mean, I have no problem saying that no refugees, no immigration from certain areas of the world. So I have no problem saying keep out Syrians. Why? Precisely because we have no way of vetting them. We have no, and we've talked about it before.
There was a way of vetting them successfully.
Right, but there isn't right now. Nah. Right, and then we said, like, when you go to these third world shitholes or Middle Eastern shitholes, it's not like they have the equivalent of an American or British or French record keeping system. Like, and you have people who have admitted that, you know, to get a piece of paper that says I was born in such a city, I'm this old, and I've never been a member of any radical group, you just pay somebody $20 or $100 at the local administrator, and you get that piece of paper. So it's not like, even if our vetting system was correct, anything, which I don't think it is, but even if it was perfect, the source of their information, which would be overseas in these countries, that is definitely not perfect, and even more open to corruption than U.S. government workers.
Right.
So that part I have no problem with. But something about Trump, you have to understand, Trump is literally the liberals' Frankenstein.
Right.
They created him. Trump is a liberal creation. Our buddy Anthony Cumia has said on his show, and I love this, he said, in today's world, in today's America, you're not going to have another revolution. People who've had enough in this country are not going to pick up guns, they're not going to form militias, they're not attacking Washington, okay? Mm-hmm. You know what their form of revolution is? Electing an idiot like Trump. Someone who is so against the system and so out of context with everybody else, that he represents blowing up the system.
Does that also cover Bernie Sanders' popularity?
To some extent, but Sanders is nowhere near as popular as Trump. And Sanders nationally, much like Trump, falls apart. I'm less and less worried about Sanders and more worried about Trump, because here's the thing. Trump also has a certain charisma about him. The first thing people love about him, Larry, is he never apologizes for anything. And certainly, you're looking at two guys who appreciate that stance. That unless I fucking say something factually wrong, I'm never going to apologize for an opinion. Ever.
Right.
And neither is he. So that part of Trump's personality, I think people are drawn to. Like when he made those comments about Megyn Kelly, as disgusting as they were, they said, well, you know, all the feminists and the politically correct people said, you got to apologize. He said, go fuck yourself. And then he doubled down on calling her a twat. You know, it's like,
whatever.
So that's the first thing. The second thing Trump has, he has this, whether it's dumb luck or on purpose, I'm not quite sure. He has this uncanny ability to tap into the electorate's fears and their concerns and then verbalize them. Why? Because after he made those comments about keeping out Muslims, his numbers went up.
Yeah.
And by the way, before you start saying, well, it went up among white racist bigots, his numbers went up amongst Muslims in the U.S.
You
heard me. Just like in some polls, his numbers with Hispanics in America are getting stronger. Why? Because he's tapping into something that perhaps goes beyond race, goes beyond religious affiliation, beyond all that stuff. Right. In other words, the moderate Muslim in this country that liberals claim exists in abundance, right?
Right.
Trump's words should have no effect on them. Because they know he's not talking about them, for the most part.
No.
He knows, they know he's not talking about them. No. That's why I think his number among Muslims is going up.
Well, they didn't go up that much, but
38%.
Well, all right, look.
38%.
But here's the problem. You're skipping over that. A lot of Muslims who are these moderate. I mean, I agree. I think that's a very exaggerated kind of oxymoron, the moderate Muslims. But no, look, there's a lot of them, and I just saw a show earlier today with people who are very concerned about that their communities are being targeted. and that they're going to get like attacked or beat up. I mean, he really is playing into some level of fear and paranoia.
Absolutely.
And, you know, but there's nothing good in what he's doing. And you know, as far as that he's blunt and he's direct and he doesn't apologize like that, well, you know what, fine. I respect that too. But that's not a reason to make him the president.
No, okay? I agree. Look,
and if you really look at it, all it really is he almost sits down, like, I guess he has some advisors or something, and he just basically is working around just, like, what stupid, outrageous thing can I say this week? Like, his opening speech when he announced he was running for president, oh, Mexico is sending us murderers and rapists, and then there was a brouhaha about that. Then he was building a wall. Then that was a big deal. Then he said John McCain, he doesn't like POWs who get captured, and or soldiers who get captured and become POWs. Then he said something about Carly Fiore in his face. Then he did Megyn Kelly. Then he got into it with the guy from Univision, Jorge Ramos, whatever. And what else? And now this thing with the Muslim. Oh, and then also he made fun of a reporter who has like
some sort of physical handicap.
Yeah, I mean it's like a nonstop. It's exactly what Rand Paul said at one of the two debates. He's just insulting his way to the nomination.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, but even though his numbers are going up, but he's completely playing to fear, and it's the wrong thing. It's the wrong thing at this time. If you want to talk, and I've talked about this on the show, if you want to talk about border security, fine, because I think open borders is the stupidest thing in the world, and the Europeans are finding that out right now the hard way. If you want to talk about the drug cartels coming and going over the border, if you want to talk about the munitions and weapons and things that I have seen specials with, and they're over the border back and forth. If you want to talk about that Mexican guy who came here illegally and killed Katie Steinle in San Francisco, fifth time over the border, a criminal. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's having a hard time getting into the country. There's a legitimate way to talk about these issues, and you don't have to do it by scapegoating people or targeting people, or you can't come into the country, and we're building walls. You know, you really think you're going to wake up one day in this country and there's going to be a big wall built? I mean, you know.
No, but here's
I mean, that's why your ass clown comment was actually very appropriate. This is all nonsense. And the fact that he's doing well, all that points out is that people are scared.
Well, I think it points out.
You shouldn't take advantage of that. That's the wrong way to go.
I think it points out a couple of things. You're right, by the way. You're right. But here's an example of why I say he's the liberals' Frankenstein. The liberals have created Donald Trump. The reason Donald Trump is successful so far is not because, I think there's a portion, you're right, there's going to be a portion that are going to be racist or short-sighted or just plain stupid. But I think it's also more the way liberals have, for the past, at least during Obama's presidency, have framed the issues. Here's a perfect example. We were watching this before the show. On Bill Maher's show on HBO, he had a guest recently. Her name was Chrystia Freeland. And she's a Canadian, she's a member of parliament.
They call them MPs.
MPs, Canadian, liberal Canadian MP. She went on this show to discuss Trump's thing about banning Muslims. Now, there were people on that panel with her. One of them was Angus King. He's an independent senator from, is it Maine?
Maine.
Yeah. And, like, here's the difference between someone who is perhaps liberal but reasonable and liberal and unreasonable. This woman could not say diversity enough times, Larry,
yeah,
right?
She used more than the word the.
Yeah, she was like, diversity. Now in times of terror, we need diversity. We need to honor diversity. In other words, she was using this catchphrase diversity as a shield to block off not specifically Trump's idiotic notions, but all debate about Muslims.
Yeah.
And here's Bill Maher, and we can't say this often
enough. Mr. Left-wing atheist.
Mr. Left-wing liberal atheist who hates fucking religions. He made a movie about the nonsense of religion, all right? Ridiculous.
Religulous.
Which
is awesome. I have to tell you, it's funny.
So you're not talking about someone who is apt to be pro-religion or right-wing or conservative, all right? And what this guy said is, look, you cannot, as an American liberal, you cannot sit back and say that Islam shares the same values that we hold dear, okay?
Right.
Things like equality, freedom,
Freedom of association. But he focused on
women's
the
issues.
Way women were treated. But look, those things are all true.
Sure.
The genital mutilation, that's true.
Honor killings.
The honor killings, and the guy from the Manhattan Institute, I think, was quoting the numbers of the people in the country in the Middle East. Who support these things.
Yeah, I actually have these down just to make this... I've posted these on our Twitter account. The Pew organization, like I know some liberals say, oh, those polls you cite are right-wing polls. No, let me cite the Pew polls. Pew, P-E-W. Not a right-wing organization. More often than not, a left-wing organization, all right? Mm. Turkey, which is a country of moderate Muslims,
yeah,
by all accounts.
They're always trying to be part of like the EU and European
and
stuff.
And NATO and stuff that, right?
Well, they're in NATO.
8% of the people polled, 8%, this is 8% that admitted to this.
In Turkey.
Support ISIS and what they're doing and what ISIS stands for in Turkey.
Right.
In Indonesia, another supposedly moderate area, 18% of the people polled say honor killings are okay.
Yeah.
That if a woman is raped, she gets put to death.
Right.
That if a woman has sex outside of marriage, she should be killed.
Right.
Okay?
And a father, you have to remember, there was an honor killing here in Arizona.
Yes,
and this was
and Michigan.
But the one in Arizona, and the Muslims, a lot of... they showed at least a significant percentage were okay with this. Check this out. You know what he did? He found out that his daughter was dating a white kid in Arizona, and she was dressing Western.
Right.
He drove to where they were hanging, like in a parking lot, and he ran her over.
Yeah.
And he ran the boyfriend over, killed them. And then it turned out that he snuck, once again, talk about the poorest border, from Arizona. He drove to Mexico very quickly, and somehow he got from Mexico over to England. And they arrested him somewhere over in England, like sent him back. But meanwhile, where's the outrage about things like this? How do you do a thing like that?
So you see how those things line up. Now, the point that this guy, I think his name is Pete Dominick, from the Manhattan Institute,
Ben Dominick
from the Manhattan Institute. He was on with this woman, and he says, listen, nobody is saying Muslims are all bad. What we're saying is the Muslim religion is incompatible with a Western civilization outlook on life.
Yeah, and more specified specifically than those who think Sharia law is a good idea.
Specifically.
And she just kept whining on,
diversity.
Yeah, you're saying that the Muslims are less than Jews or less than Christians. And then meanwhile, nobody said anything. I mean, I thought Bill Maher, I thought his teeth were going to fall out of his head.
Bill Maher was actually very took a hard line with her, and he basically said, no, I'm speaking out for the moderate Muslim.
Yeah.
I'm not, but she kept saying diversity. And here's what the other point was made, which we've made. There are 1.5 billion Muslims in this world. If you use Turkey as the example at 8%, how many Muslims in the world do you think that equates to supporting ISIS? 8%.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's in Turkey. Like in other countries, and I've actually spent this better part of this week going through that Pew poll, Larry.
Right.
In my mind, and maybe my math was wrong, I averaged out worldwide the people who admitted to supporting ISIS and Sharia law where they live, even if it wasn't the official law, like in England, in the US, okay, in France. My numbers came out to about 38%. Okay? Worldwide. And of course, that includes the Middle Eastern region where you would expect it to be higher and stuff like that. Yeah. But maybe I'm wrong. But if you use this guy's on real times numbers, 8% of Turkey, 18% of Indonesia, pick 8%, the low end. What's 8% of 1.6 billion? That's 150 million roughly.
People. Yeah.
Okay? 150 million people around the world who are dedicated to wiping you out. Who are dedicated to their brand of life,
right.
And dedicated to making sure that it spreads.
And
okay?
The guys who are in these organizations, like ISIS, they support them.
Right.
They think that this is the great, this is the right. greatest idea in the entire
now,
world.
Now, I'm saying, since we've had to hear almost 10 years of bullshit from the White House and from the left, that refuses to even talk about these facts,
right.
That refuses to acknowledge that this exists, that sort of attitude for the past 10 years, you are responsible for President Trump. You are responsible for driving the American people to the other extreme, like right. Larry said.
Because you know why? Because they don't feel safe. They don't feel like you're on top of the job. They don't feel like Obama cares about the security. You know, he just came back from Paris and from the climate conference with a big shit-eating grin on his face.
That he had time for, by
that
the way.
He had time for. That he cares about. That he flew all the way over there. The Charlie Hebdo thing.
To
and
give
they had
a
that
shit.
Big, they had that big gathering. All the world is. He didn't go over for that.
The recent thing he didn't go over.
Yeah, not at all. Well, he did later on. He laid the like a, some flowers.
No, but I mean while the but, other world leaders were
no, no, not at all. And this is the problem with the left, because this is where they're just, well, except for Bill Maher, they won't say Muslim extremism. They won't say Islamic radicals. They're nitpicking at words. Okay, and I hate to say this. I know people right here in this city who do that. And they give you a look if you say like Muslim extremists or radicalized Muslims. They don't want to hear it. They just want to hear it's the two things. They want to hear that they're just extremists, or the only time they are comfortable identifying race, gender, and religion is when it's Timothy McVeigh, this guy Deer who just shot the people, the Planned Parenthood, or that Randy, what's his face?
From white Christians is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
That's what liberals are fairly clear identifying.
And look who they're identifying as being Christian. But is Timothy McVeigh a Christian?
And what was funny was this idiot, this twat, Chrystia Freeland on Real Time, when Bill Maher said, look, there's these people that eat, live, and breathe the Quran, and the Quran says these horrible things. You know what her reaction, you know what her response was? Her response was, well, haven't Christians done bad things? It's the typical liberal response.
Right. They have to balance out so they don't feel like
they're picking Christians done, and it's what we always say. It's not that there haven't been Christians who have committed crimes, especially in the last 100 years. There haven't been crimes committed in the name of Christianity. There's a difference, okay? Right. And Bill Maher even pointed it out. She said, well, doesn't the Bible say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? And Bill Maher just looked at her and said, but nobody fucking listens to the Bible.
Right. Even the people who are, like, very religious, like you go to, like, the Liberty Baptist College, Bob Jones University, you think they really are sitting around going, oh, yeah, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Get the fuck out of here. Nobody takes that seriously. Maybe you might find a few kooks.
And the ones who do don't actually do it.
Yeah.
For the most part, all right? Yeah. But anyway, nobody stays up at night wondering if we're going to get invaded or if a Christian who is following the Hammurabi Code decides that they're going to drop a dirty bomb in New York City.
Yeah.
Okay? I am worried that some dirty Muslim savage is going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay? Oh, and by the way, this meme about replace the word Muslim with Jews and see if you sound like a fucking Nazi,
yeah.
Which, by the way, I've spent a good chunk of my week this week debating on Twitter. Larry, have you noticed that liberals, by the way, can't draw analogies
no,
properly?
They're horrible at it.
This is the most misplaced analogy that you could come up with.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Jews were not the terrorists in Germany.
That's
okay?
Right.
The Jews were not fucking bombing Berchtesgaden. The Jews were not
the most nonviolent people in the world.
Right. All right. So for you to make this is like one of the most idiotic attempts at an analogy that you could come up with. But just to satisfy my liberal viewers, I did this exercise. I replaced the word Muslim with Jewish to see if I sound like a Nazi. Let me repeat it and you tell me if I sound like a Nazi. I wish all the fucking savage Jews would just stop chopping the clits off women, would stop the honor killing of rape victims, and would stop throwing gay guys off tall buildings, and just stick to killing themselves. Do I sound like a Nazi, Larry?
No.
I sound pretty fucking reasonable, don't I?
That sounds like a critique to me of things that are going on right now being done by Muslims. See, the reason the analogy doesn't work is because the Nazis in the analogy would be the
Muslims.
The Muslims were killing everybody, not the Jews who are the victims of it. See, the analogy would have worked if you said, you know, the Jews back then, well, they're pretty much like women now, homosexuals now, right. Little girls who, oh my God, they're actually born with a clitoris. Like, you know, all of that, all the, you didn't match up the criminal versus the victim properly.
Fucking liberal cocksuckers.
So, you know, the whole Jessica, whatever your face is, you're stupid.
Yeah.
You're almost as stupid as Miss Freeland, who I hope goes back to Canada and drops dead. She's the stupidest person.
And by the way, diversity is not your shield. The word diversity is not your shield for every fucking nonsense that you want to come up with. First of all, for the party of science, I'd like for you to show me that one study that says that that coerced diversity is good. I'm still waiting for that. As a scientist, as I've said many times, because Larry, I'm a what?
Scientist.
I have yet to see the study that tells me that forced diversity is good. I've yet to see the study that says that everything in society has to be proportional to race. That's fucking racism, actually.
Yeah.
All right? What? What are we? 60% of the white people? What do white people?
64%.
64%. Yeah. So does that mean that whites should get 64% of the jobs, 64% of the wealth, 64% of benefits?
Yeah.
No.
No, that's
no. So why do you think it's appropriate that every result has to be in terms of race, you fucking asshole liberals? Show me the science behind it. Show me the genetics behind it. Show me anything. See, you are just as bad as religious nuts because you have picked certain words.
That's what I always
and you follow them blindly.
Right.
Diversity.
Multicultural.
Multiculturalism. Microaggressions. Trigger warnings. Rape culture. Fat shaming. What the fuck are you talking about?
White privilege.
White privilege. You can't make shit up and then use it as the explanation for your dopey act.
Right.
Right? Like if I sat here and said, blowjobs are good, and then use blowjobs are good as my excuse for raping women. That's what you're doing, okay? And if someone says, why did you rape that woman? Isn't that wrong? I'd be, of course not. Blowjobs are good. That's what you're doing. You're forcing diversity on people. You're forcing diversity to the point where you create a Donald Trump. You're forcing diversity to the point where you're, in essence, committing suicide. Because in the name of diversity, you're not willing to admit who it is that's bombing you, who it is that's killing your women, who it is that's trying to kill your children.
Who's sneaking into countries and shooting people in San Bernardino.
Right.
At Charlie Hebdo.
All in the name of diversity.
The seven attacks in England, the train attack in Spain, the train attack in France that was stopped by three Americans who were on the train. Look, you're not helping anything by just refusing to acknowledge what the problem is. Islam, and even actually, I'm surprised, but actually Obama admitted this the other night. Islam has a bit of a cancer. And the guys who think it's okay to kill everybody who disagrees with them, and the whole laundry list of things that these guys got to go. If you actually care about diversity, you should want them to go. Because these guys are the extreme opposite and an anathema to everything that you believe in. Okay? They don't want diversity. They want everybody just like them. They don't want women doing things. They want women shitting kids and shut up. Homosexuals, they got to be killed. Infidels, they got to be killed. What kind of fucking world would it be? Well, you would be, and all joking aside, you'd be living in the Stone Age.
If you were living at all.
If you were living like these guys. I mean, they want to, you know, now the left is taking to calling them like an apocalyptic, cult or something like that. Oh, please, all these silly names. You know what? Why don't we just take the Taliban, all of them, why don't we just group them under assholes, for God's sake? How about that? But this is such an enormous waste of time. We know what the problem is. Let's go get it. Stop mincing words, stop fighting over it, and stop denying it. That's the one thing I've actually come to like about Bill Maher. He puts it out there.
Yeah.
He's putting it out
now, there. Now, for example, there was debate between right and left on that episode as to how you get rid of those extremists, right? Like, the liberal camp says you got to get the other 80% to do it. Like, so in Indonesia, you get the 80% that don't believe in honor killings to somehow get the 20% that do you know, get them on board. You know what I mean?
I don't mind, though. I don't mind trying to enlist help in these countries.
No, I don't either.
I mean, you know,
but I mean, and you might have, what I was trying to say is, you might have a conservative that would say, just fucking kill them or something, right? Yeah. A neocon or something like that.
Yeah.
So the solution, I agree, comes from different spaces. But at least in those cases, everyone agrees, this is the problem, and this is who's responsible for the problem.
Right.
Right? That Canadian twat, Freeland, and anybody like her, and there's a growing, the number's way too big in the U.S., just refuse to even talk about it because it suffers for diversity. It suffers for multiculturalism. It suffers for not offending anyone.
Right, but you're picking on a racial and religious minority.
Yes.
And that just sets them off, which explains why they're totally comfortable attacking white male Christians. Who, and as I've covered many times, and it was on all week on all those shows, that's the power structure. They're so powerful, white guys. Look how powerful. You know, you even go back to those, like, that stupid thing that Matt Damon got in trouble with on the Greenlight Project. Like, Rose McGowan. She texted something, hey, white guys, your awareness means nothing. Powerful white guys, your awareness means nothing. Do something. Like, everybody's buying into this, you know, like, yeah, look, let me tell you something. Scapegoating anybody just doesn't work, whether you think they're powerful white guys or whether you think it's Muslim extremists, whether you think it's fags, whether you think it's this or that. These things don't work. They just don't work. And the problem, that's my problem with Trump. To me, this doesn't work. And the problem with it is going to be simply this. All this fear-mongering and, you know, playing up to that and keep them out of the country and building walls and blah, blah, blah. You know, you're just appealing to people's ugliness. Okay? It really isn't going to accomplish it. You know what it is? To me, it's the opposite extreme of, I'm not saying Muslim extreme. I'm not saying, like now Hillary says she's not going to say illegal immigrants anymore, too.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Does undocumented make you feel better? Look, they're not here legally, you asshole. So you really, and this is something which I'm always on about. What do I always talk about? Politically correct, like left-wing liberals, religious right. Can't stand them. I can't stand them. This is pretty much that. And because of the way the left is approaching this, Obama and these people, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't want to take it on. They want to talk about climate change and white guys. So because they're ignoring this problem, and I hate to put the whammy on, this is going to be another attack.
Of course
there
will be.
In a couple of months. God forbid. But you're going to hear like, well, in like downtown Houston, 40 people killed like in a mall. And you're going to hear, and then the people who perpetrated, Abu Kabukalugi, Muhammad fucking Shishkabab, like all these stupid fucking names, it's going to be that. And then we can go through another cycle of how we talk about it, what it is, blah, blah, blah. Look, because of the way the left is, this is why Trump is actually taking this. There are a lot of people who, whether you like it or not, they're really worried about this. And clearly Obama has like zero strategy, zero. He doesn't know what he's doing. He just wants to hand this off to the next president. I'm telling you. He's hoping just to sit on it so he can hand it off. Okay? And then he'll claim victory.
And then his demeanor is such that when you ask him about it.
He's too cool for school.
Yeah, he's blowing you off as if somehow he's smarter than you.
Yeah, he's so condescending. He even did it to reporters. Like, look, I know what I'm doing. You're all so stupid and like overreacting. But you know what the truth is? Because of the way he's doing it, because of the way Hillary wants to handle it, because of the way Bernie Sanders wants to handle it, what do you think Trump is tapping into? It's a combination of, a certain amount, definitely, of just bigots, but also just people like, well, you're not handling it. Here's a guy who's actually stepping up and going, rah, 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 and like, people will listen to somebody who at least has a plan, something. Even the other Republicans are being pretty timid.
Yeah, very few of them are actually standing by him, like you might find.
Maybe Cruz, but now they're fighting with each other.
Yeah, but so here's the thing, and we'll end it on this. Liberals, he's your Frankenstein. Donald Trump, Frankenstein, your fault.
Yep.
If we have a President Trump, it's your fault.
Yep.
Not anybody else's, it's your fault. Because our president refuses to acknowledge what's happening and refuses to do anything about it. So that's on you. That's on you. Trump is on you. All right. Final thing, Larry, you want to talk about, which we read this, and we got a pseudo kick out of it.
Okay.
Police officer, what state was he in?
This is Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
I believe.
By the name of Daniel Holdsclaw, a white guy. You know, let me rephrase this. I find it amusing, but not amusing. You know what I mean? convicted of basically running a forced harem for himself.
Yeah.
He sexually assaulted 13 women, all of them black, all of them African-American,
right,
who had some sort of record or warrant, yeah, or something like that. And he basically used that as leverage to get them to perform...
Mostly blowjobs.
Blowjobs. In some cases, he handcuffed them up and raped them. And yeah, like, so basically, he ran a sex slave ring. I mean, he wasn't selling them or anything like that. He kept them for himself, from what I could tell.
Oh, but, yeah, just for himself.
But done over the course of 6 months. Can you believe that? I think...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy... Needless to say, despicable human being, and I'm glad to say, convicted, and given over 250 years prison time.
263 years, and convicted by an all-white jury.
There you go.
For anybody out there who thinks that white people like tacitly rubber stamp behavior like this or bad behavior by the police, look at these guys. These people, I'm pretty sure it was Oklahoma. Look at this guy, 263 years, all white jury. They convicted him like that. They were back in like
40 hours, they said. 40-hour deliberation.
That's it? Oh, yeah. I heard it was faster.
But I think it was just to figure out how much they could get him. Yeah, not trying to get him off.
Yeah.
I think they were figuring, like, how long can we keep this guy in jail and for what?
Yeah.
Because I think he was only convicted on half of the counts.
Yeah, it was like 18 out of 30.
And he got nine forced sodomy and one rape.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. But it was enough where he's away for life, obviously.
Yeah, and he started to break down in court. Like,
of course, what else is he
Well, yeah, but he shouldn't have been surprised. Fact. But, I mean, it's particularly bad because with all this stuff that's going on with police and the black community, you need this asshole. This is what he's doing. He's driving around in his cruiser at like 11 o'clock at night, and he sees like a black woman by himself, and he like pulls her over and does this to her. And, you know, it just plays into like all the worst arguments from the left and how bad the police are.
And actually from libertarians. Libertarians are not on a pro-cop bent themselves. For the most part, you know, they're
not. This is bad. And like he got 263. You know what? Good.
Now, the thing that's interesting to me is that you had this clearly a despicable person, a horrid case. But when you look at it, justice was served, in my opinion. Guys, you know,
yeah,
like you can't execute him, even if you're pro-death penalty, you can't execute him because he didn't kill anybody.
No.
He loses his pension, he loses all his benefits, and he's a felon, and he's in jail for the rest of his natural life, okay? Justice is served, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You still have fucking protests, though. There's still groups, feminist groups, and groups who support the Black Lives Matter, who found this to be a reason to protest, even after the guy got convicted.
Yeah.
What else did you want done? I'm not defending the guy, obviously. I'm happy he's going to die in prison, but what else did you want in this particular case?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to understand, like, what else could have been done in this case?
I have to tell you, though, as far as that, I wanted to, very quickly, before we sign off, he's absolutely right. What else, you know, I mean, now at this point, you're protesting just a protest. But you know what I liked? I did like what went on in Chicago, because now Jesse Jackson is there, and they had some big protests the other day, and it was totally peaceful. And they had a lot of speakers there, almost all of them black, and they're all calling for Rahm Emanuel to step down. And this is
over the Laquan.
The shooting of that kid. But it's a cautionary tale of something which I always tell people, and I wish somebody would listen. You have in large urban areas, most of the people are Democrats, especially African Americans. Right? So here's, you know, this is how idiots like de Blasio get elected. And here's Rahm Emanuel. He's an old buddy of Barack Obama, worked in the White House. He was like chief of staff or whatever. Leaves, goes, and runs for mayor. He knows he's going to win like that. Republicans aren't going to win in Chicago. He'd be lucky if he got like 20% of the vote.
Right.
So what happens is he's a shoo-in, right? So he goes to Chicago. Look what a horrible job this guy is doing. Look at this guy. And the reason I mention that is for all the Democrats out there who I always refer to as lemmings. You went out, You just voted for this guy. Well, he's with Obama. He's one of our guys. He's a Democrat. You know,
he's from Chicago.
He's from Chicago. Okay, guess what? Look at this guy. He knew about the tape. He's known about it for something they said like 14 months now. Squashed it.
So paid money.
Paid money. Squashed it so it wouldn't fuck up his re-election. Okay? Now, it comes out, and he's taking a beating, and they're calling for him to step down. This is Jesse Jackson. In other words, for him to step down and get out, and naturally he's not going to do it. Or if he does, I'll faint. I mean, at this point, he says he's not. But it's an interesting thing to me that for people, you know, I'm always telling people, why don't you know about the issues? You know, like, I mean, I don't know every issue. But I know that when I walk in, like, for instance, when I vote next year for the president, I'm going to know about my candidate and who I'm voting for. I don't vote for people just because they're in the same party as I am. I mean, for instance, I'm not registered Republican, but I didn't vote for Mitt Romney. And, you know, I did vote for John McCain. But the point is, when you vote for people and you don't put any thought into it or you don't care about the issues or they're just in your party or I like her and I know her first name is Hillary. When you do things like that, see, this is what you get. This is the kind of leadership you get because you're getting people who you don't know if they're qualified. You don't know if they're capable. Look at this guy, Romney. He's a fucking idiot. Plus, the economy in Chicago is not that great either.
Yeah, and just to expand on that good point, there are a lot of black leaders now, or not a lot, there's a few that are saying, we're not getting what we need as a constituency because we have given our vote away to Democrats so easily. In other words, why does any Democrat have to work for you if you're a black person right now? 95-96% of the time, you're voting Democratic. Do you realize that right now, whenever someone in public office runs for a spot, the black vote, without any effort or forethought, is automatically put in the Democratic column? Yeah.
Why do you think the Democrats...
They fight over Latinos.
Right.
They fight over whites, obviously. They fight over women. They fight over men. They fight over college students. Any other slice of a demographic,
people
are fighting for it. Candidates are fighting for it to a certain extent. The black demographic, no matter how you sub-slice the black demographic, nobody fights for it. Nobody fights for it. Republicans don't fight for it because they know you're voting Democratic. Democrats don't fight for you because they know you're going to pull for them.
Yeah, you're not going to vote for
them. So what's the end result? The end result is Democrats don't have to do shit for you.
Right, they take it for granted.
They take it for granted. Right. And Republicans sure as hell ain't doing shit for you because they know you'll never vote for them.
It's not worth their time. I mean, it would be nice if they made the effort like Rand Paul does. But you know what? Even he's not going to...
It's impractical. It's impractical. Because when
the politics of when you're sitting in a room with the guys who run your campaigns, they'll just tell you, it would be nice if you could get some of the black vote. He goes, but you can count on about 7%, and that's it.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is, I mean, the Democrats know this to the point where, and you hear this every election cycle, it drives me crazy. Like, they brought in buses into, like, the ghetto area so they could get, like, 80, 90-year-old black people who aren't very mobile and need strollers, so we could get them to the voting booth. Like, they'd squeeze out, like, everybody. Then, meanwhile, you do this, and you go out on that Tuesday, and you vote, and they ignore the fucking shit out of you. For God's sake, when you got some stiff like Rahm Emanuel.
Right. Meanwhile, you see Republicans in certain states fighting tooth and nail for the Latino vote.
Yeah.
Why? Because Latinos are still salvageable from a political point of view. In other words, how these things happen is very actuarial-like. It's like a lot like the way insurance companies pay out claims, right? An insurance company, if you're in an accident, an insurance company will pay out a claim if they figure out that it's cheaper to pay the claim than to take you to court and fight it. And they have all these probabilities figured out, right? So for a candidate, here's the thinking. Let's say I have $100 million in my war chest. Am I going to spend $25 million trying to get the black vote if I'm a Republican? It's a wasted $25 million. I'd rather put that $25 million towards the Latino vote because I might get that. There's a certain percentage of the Latino population that still votes conservatively because they're religious, because, you know, they come from a certain, like Cubans, for example, longtime conservative bloc, especially in Florida.
Yeah.
All right? Black vote? Psh. Who's going to drop millions of dollars? Even Democrats. See, Democrats won't drop the money on you.
Yeah,
because they know you're going to blindly vote for him. So who was it? Stephen A. Smith, the basketball commentator, when he came out and said, we should vote for a Republican just to shake up Democrats, to let them know that we have the option of going somewhere else? Why don't you do that? Hey, man, if I've been voting for one particular party for the past 55, 60 years, which is what blacks have done since Kennedy, all right, voted Democratic all the way. Like, I mean, by all the way, 95, 96, 97%,
yeah,
right?
In the 60s, yeah.
Right, it started with Kennedy. So if you're going to vote that way for 55, 60 years and you're still bitching that things haven't gotten better for you, whether they have or not is almost inconsequential. Right. The fact that you think they haven't if you're black,
right.
Why would you continue to vote for the same fucking party? And in the same overwhelming numbers,
yeah,
when you think they haven't done shit for you. If it was me, I'd be like, they don't get my vote. I'll go to the other guy just because.
I would have bailed on you after one election.
Yeah, basically.
I gotta tell you right now, if I voted for you in 2012 and you've done nothing for me, you're not getting my vote in 2016. Fuck to 40, 50 years. Now, of course, on the other hand, the Republicans haven't helped themselves too much.
No, agreed.
And they had a number of guys who came across as like racist or
sensitive. Absolutely.
And, you know, just the wrong attitude. You know, like, and this is, that's one of the things, like, tying it back, this is what I don't like about Trump. You know, like, when, you know, John and I were talking about once, like, my big hero growing up was William F. Buckley Jr.
Mm.
First book I really ever read politically was Up From Liberalism. I used to watch Firing Line, even though I didn't understand, because of his vocabulary, I didn't even understand what he was saying half the time.
Right.
William F. Buckley Jr., this man was so great.
Right.
And just, not even just as a conservative, you know what the first thing he did as a conservative? All the racists, all the anti-Semites, all the bigots, guess what? Goodbye. Go join the John Birch Society, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Go join the Fascist Party of America. Go get out of here. The first thing he did is he purged out all the people who think like that so he would have the conservative movement. And the conservatives are not supposed to be racist, fascist, sexist, homophobic. They're not supposed to be all those things you always hear. They're not supposed to be. And the worst part for the party was he put them on the right course. Barry Goldwater kept it going. Reagan kept it going. And Bush Sr., yeah, blah, blah, blah. And now with George, you know, now the this is what drives me crazy. The religious kooks have taken over. And, you know, some of them might be a little, I can't say they're bigoted, but I wonder about some of these
yeah,
people.
I wonder about Dr. Bill a little bit.
I wonder even about Ben Carson. I wonder about some of their views on things. And it really does, if you think of what Buckley was fighting for, if you look at his books, I've read practically all of them. If you look at what he stood for, this isn't it. This isn't it. This is something else that they love invoking Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
They love that shit, but you know, in today's party, he would never get the nomination.
Well, also, Reagan.
He would never get the nomination. He was divorced, yeah. Which I notice isn't hurting Trump with these people. He was divorced. He was a guy from Hollywood. He signed, you know, they even overlooked, but you know what? They hadn't blasted on the scene yet. Because if you remember, Ronald Reagan was a guy who legalized abortion in California, which would have killed him. It would kill you in today's party. So this is something else. It's one of the reasons why I'm not Republican anymore. I changed it. I mean, outside of, I like to feel that my views have evolved as I've gotten older. And I started reading libertarian material. And I found myself, wow, this is actually more along my line. But, I mean, again, tying it back in, like this whole thing with Trump and the view, it's, you know, I think it's a mistake. I think it's the wrong direction for the party.
No, I mean, like,
and now, oh, that's the other thing, which we actually didn't cover. Now the Republicans, their leadership got together, Reince, Priebus, and they're talking about a brokered convention and stuff like
yeah,
that.
there's talk that even if Trump wins, which, listen, if I'm going to read anybody and take them most seriously, it's going to be the guys at 538.com. I'm listening, being an analyst myself, I'm listening to the analysts. I'm listening to Nate Silver. I'm listening to those guys at 538.com.
Crunching numbers.
Yeah. You know, and why not? They've been the most accurate for the last at least two election cycles, if not three. So here's what I have to say, and what they have to say, actually. Trump does well in localized polls, right? So if you went to place A, B, and C, he might do well. Nationally, he suffers a lot.
Yeah.
Right? He suffers a lot. And he suffers in large electoral
states. Big electoral votes.
New York is not going for Trump.
California
is not going for Trump. Texas.
Texas might actually be 50-50. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
Because he's not a religious guy, too. Remember that.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that helped put George Bush.
And a lot of people remember. And listen, if you're from Texas, Trump is from New York. Only two things come out of New York, communists and fags, if you talk to any Texan. All right?
Well, he might have broken out of that mold Because they, a lot of them, you know, when he made a speech out there in like South Carolina, they're going nuts for him.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was in New York, it didn't really matter to them. They just loved the blunt, the brashness.
Yeah.
And I'm rich, and yeah. I'm going to stick it to the Chinese and Japanese, and when we do trades, we're going to get good deals, and we're going
to
be winning.
But it's going to be very similar to what's happening with Sanders. Like, if you look at Bernie Sanders' numbers, he looks unusually strong, and like, sometimes you sit there and go, man, he's a fucking socialist. Where's he pulling these numbers from? Unlike us calling Obama a socialist when he is, but he won't admit it, you call Sanders a socialist, and he admits to it. He says, I'm a socialist, right? So, in America, we've never had a socialist run for president that's come anywhere near, like, any sort of...
They've never done anything.
Any sort of, like, you know...
success.
Significant minority vote, you know.
Yeah.
And when you look at Sanders' numbers, he looks strong. But here's the thing. Again, like they said in 538, he looks strong in isolated polls. But when you run him across the country, he's not even going to challenge Hillary at all. Not even close.
No.
Whether he can affect her to move more to the left is a different issue.
Yeah, he might pick up a few states in the primaries, but he's going
to
lose.
Yeah, the best he can hope for is to like what Elizabeth Warren might do, which is to force Hillary to make promises to the far left. Which she probably wouldn't follow anyway, but
she'll know how to get out of them. The Clintons are crafty, if nothing else.
Now, the question is, will Trump have... Because I'm still convinced Trump is not running for president.
All right, stop it.
Because here's my thinking. He would have to disclose all his business dealings, which he doesn't want to do. He'd have to disclose all his personal holdings, which he doesn't want to do. And if he gets elected president... All the shit that he runs, all his companies, all his offices, all his businesses, have to be put in blind trust.
Right.
It means like his kid can't even run them.
Right.
All right? Are you trying to tell me a billionaire like Trump is going to do that? A ceaseless self-promoter like Trump? I still think that at some point, because it's still early, we forget. We're still a year out from the election. All right?
The primaries are coming.
Right. I'm still convinced that at the first primary that he loses and loses bad, whether it's New Hampshire, whether it's, I don't think it'll be Iowa, but maybe it'll be New Hampshire, maybe it'll be Florida. One of the early ones that are important. Once he loses the first one of those, he's gonna cut a deal with another candidate, whether it's Cruz. My guess is if he had to cut a deal with another candidate, it'd probably be Cruz. Not Rubio. Yeah. It'll probably be Cruz.
Christie's number two in New Hampshire now.
Yeah, he's another one I can't stand. But
yeah.
Trump will cut a deal with someone. And he'll say, I'm resigning, blah, 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 but I fully support so-and-so.
Okay.
And that's what I think is going to happen. I don't think you really want to see a President Trump. And the other thing is, I'm sure he's got advisors that are telling him, you can't win nationally. Because, again, the guys at 538, they're staking their reputation. The guy can't win nationally. He can win isolated areas, but he can't win nationally. So I don't think Trump is in it just to say he won 10 primaries.
I think he's running the whole... I think he's doing it. But I really do. Because quite frankly, when we first talked to us months ago, we thought he was...
I thought he'd be out by now.
That's why I changed my opinion right away. No, he's going to see this through.
I still think, like... I just can't see him giving up all his interests to be president. Do you know what I mean?
He might do it because he knows that... Being president is going to be something else for him. Plus, he can always get those.
Plus, I'd like to know. I apologize for not knowing this, but has there ever been a president who has never held any other elected office?
Yeah, there have been a few.
Who?
Grant.
Okay.
He was just a military guy.
Okay.
Eisenhower.
So let me refine that. Okay. If you took away elected office or generals.
Because
let's be honest, people culturally hold generals to be almost like an elected office. You know what I mean?
Or that you have the leadership qualities.
Right. Other than, like, if you think even George Washington.
George Washington didn't even go to college.
But he was a general.
Yeah, he was a general. You know what? Martin Van Buren might have been a non-politician, just a lawyer who ran.
Okay.
Sure.
So I would have to do research on that. But
Polk is another one.
That's another thing that's not in Trump's favor. Never held any elected office, and he's not a military guy. Did he even go? I don't even think he served, right? So when you put all that together, that's another reason why I think he can't be president. Not legally, I mean, just in terms of getting elected. Because somebody will bring up, like, you've never held elective office.
Yeah. But that doesn't seem to be. But that's good this cycle.
Maybe.
Why else? You know, Fiorino was doing well for a while, and Ben Carson. Now he's.
But now they're fading for a lot of reasons.
Yeah,
but not Trump.
Not Trump, but they're fading. You know.
No, they are.
So we'll see what happens, because I think at the end of the day, like I've said before, I want someone who has outsider mentality. I don't want someone who's an outsider. Because there's shit that needs to be done by experience, just like people in business. You don't want someone running a car shop that doesn't know anything about cars.
Yeah.
Right?
But you've been having the experiences.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying
you
I want someone. I hated
you
Bush.
You don't like Kasich.
No, it's not the only thing.
There are idiots like Pataki running. He was governor for three terms.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but I don't want him as president.
No, I don't either. But I'm saying to have someone with no experience, to me, you're adding, like Obama. Obama basically had no experience.
Yeah,
even he was a senator for, what's it, half a term, one term, or whatever.
Not even. He was in the Senate for 150 days.
Right. So
150 days, and he ran for president.
So someone like that, look at the disaster we've had with him.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying. And I'm not even saying policy-wise, just look how he tries to get along with people. He can't.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough for this week.
That's an interesting 1 hour on the button. Look at
that.
Yeah,
look at that. So, until next week, America. When we talk more about the issues of the day, this has been Big Fat John.
And Judo Larian.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larian. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.